Reading this morning in Genesis 27, we see two brothers. They have a famous grandpa. Perhaps you know his their grandpa. His name was Abraham. And this grandfather, Abraham, famous man, he's revered by three religions in the world: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And Abraham had two well-known sons. One was named Ishmael, and the other was named Isaac, who is the father of these twin brothers, Esau and Jacob. Now, God had given Abraham a special blessing called the Abrahamic Covenant. And this blessing was not given to his firstborn son, Ishmael. It was given to Abraham. And sadly, Ishmael is the father of the Arab people, and most of the Arab people do not accept the blessing that came from Abraham through Isaac because of hatred for Isaac and Jacob and that whole clan. And that's a sad thing. But even though these people boast that Abraham is their father, for the most part, they're missing out on that blessing that comes through Abraham. And now then, Isaac, Abraham's son, had two sons. And one was named Esau and the other Jacob. Now, traditionally, the birthright goes to the oldest son. That would have been Esau. But in this case, Esau did not value the birthright. He made a poor decision not to choose the birthright and the blessing that goes with it. So it went to Jacob. He sold his birthright for a bowl of chili soup one day when he was hungry. And he didn't value his birthright. And God saw to it that, therefore, the blessing of the covenant of Abraham would go to Jacob and to his descendants. And what went along with that blessing meant that Jacob would be the father of the nation that would bring back the kingdom of God back to the earth, that Jacob would inherit the promised land, that Jacob would have the Savior of the world come from him. And he would be blessed as the spiritual leader in his family, and Jacob wanted that. Now, Esau was very upset and complained to his father that he had missed out on this blessing. And in Genesis 27:38, he made this sad statement about his failure to get the blessing. He said, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also." And let me say that Abraham did bless Esau, and he did get blessings. And you know what? There are a lot of blessings that people get in this life, and they choose to get. Sometimes God blesses people with good looks. And that can be a blessing, to have good looks, and people go a long way on their looks, right? And so Brother Eric said, there he is. And then some people get blessed with money. They have a lot of money, and that is a blessing to people. You know, money talks and people walk. And then other people, they have a lot of influence or power in their life, and they have that influence and that power, and that becomes a blessing. Some people have singing talent. They can sing very well, and that becomes a blessing. And some people have another talent. Maybe perhaps they can act or have the ability to act and so forth. And then there are other gifts, you know, intellect, very smart people, very smart, very intelligent people. And that is a blessing. And Esau, he said, "Father, do you have but one blessing? Come on, bless me." But the thing of it is, if you have a blessing in your life and you miss the main blessing that Jacob got, you've got nothing. And that is really what we want to talk about today. Don't miss out on the importance of God's greatest blessing in your life. And realize that no matter what a person has, if they don't have this, they have nothing. And I want to say, number one, because this blessing means God will not charge any sins to your account if you have it. So go with me to Psalm 32. And David is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said these words, verse 1 and 2, you follow, I'll read it. Blessed is he whose transgression is what? Forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now God says the greatest blessing in life is if the God who is the judge of the whole earth does not charge iniquity to your account. That's what it means to impute. It means to charge it to your account so that you're guilty of iniquity and you have to pay for that iniquity that you have committed. In other words, the worst curse that you could get that goes against this blessing is to show up at the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20 and appear before a judge. I remember years ago I had let my car insurance lapse and I got hit, and a guy was guilty of hitting me, and he broke the law, but my insurance had lapsed, and so I lost my license for 90 days. And I remember getting a lawyer and going before the judge. I got it delayed, but eventually I had to have my wife drive me around for 90 days. But I remember that scene before that judge. But there'll be no lawyer then. In fact, the judge will be the former lawyer, Jesus Christ, and the Father will be there sitting on the throne. And you will have the judgment of God upon you, and every sin will be brought up. It says in Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books according to their works. And the Bible says that if you do not have the greatest blessing, you will be charged for every sin that you've committed. And you will have to be judged based upon your works, based upon your sins that you have committed. And what's the judgment? Revelation 20:14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Cast means thrown alive into the lake of fire. People will not go there willingly. You'll not go there willingly. You'll have to be thrown into the lake of fire. People will scream and cry out, why am I being thrown in there? Well, because you're being held guilty for all of the sins that you've committed in this life. And God warns you that that is the second death. What's the second death? It's to die and then to die all over again. And to die and to die all over again. And to die and to die all over again in fire. That is the most horrible thing I can imagine. I can't imagine anything worse than that. The Bible said when the Apostle Paul talked about that judgment day, that the man that he stood before began to tremble when he talked about the judgment of God that is going to come. And you know, the Bible says that. And I think about my wife and I were talking to a sales lady, and we were telling her we're celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. And then she said, well, I've been with my man for 14 years. And I said, are you married? And she said, no. You know, like, who wants to be married? And I was like, but the Bible says that you're supposed to be married. Well, we're monogamous. We're together. It's just the two of us. Well, that's called being a monogamous fornicator. Because every time you come together with that person without a marriage covenant, you are being involved in fornication. And you're held guilty for that. And one act of fornication would be enough to put you in the lake of fire forever. And then the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. So let's say you never thought, you never committed fornication, but even if you thought about it, Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Those sins will be judged. And then every sin of your mouth, a lie told, a gossip said, a curse uttered, every sin of your mouth, it's all going to come back. It will all be done there at that judgment day. And the Bible says that that sin will put you in hell, and it'll do it forever. And you say, well, how many sins would I have to commit to have to be guilty and go to the lake of fire? Well, one sin got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And Brother Joe shares the omelet illustration oftentimes, that you come to my house and I make you an egg, and or let's say I go to your house and you make me scrambled eggs, and you're going to put some cheese in there and some onions in it and make me an egg omelet, put a little milk in there, and you break in a good egg, and you say, well, he's hungry, I'll break in another egg, and you break in a rotten egg. Are you going to mix that up and serve it to me? No, you can't, because it will spoil it. It'll ruin it. One sin is enough to ruin your life before a holy and a righteous God. And he will not accept anybody into heaven that has even one sin charged to your account. And the charge is death. And death is not just physical death, it's eternal death in the lake of fire forever and ever. And God will see to it that that justice is carried out. And so that's why the Bible says in Psalm 130 in verse 3, if the Lord should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If the Lord counts your sin up, not one of you would be able to stand. All of you would be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And so that is the curse. And you say, well, when does that curse begin? The moment you're born. You're born guilty of sin. You say, whose sin is charged to my account? The sin of Adam. You're already guilty of Adam's sin, and that is charged to your account. And so, you see, we're all born under a curse. We're all born under the wrath of God. We're all born under the judgment of God. And yet people go on in this world and they think everything is fine. They think it's fine. The Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And so the greatest blessing that you could possibly have is not to have to pay for your sins. Is not to have to be standing there at the judgment day and actually answer for all of the sins that you've done in your life. Thousands of them, millions of them. And so there is a great curse that we're under. But the greatest blessing, I'd like you to look at Psalm 32 now, verse number 2. I'm going to read it. He says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That is the man. The man that the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now, I'd like you to look at verse 1, and I'll read it. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, who's writing this? David is writing this. And he's writing it in the Old Testament, before our sins were paid for by Jesus Christ, when he took the judgment of God and he went to that throne of judgment, and on the cross he was held guilty. Now David is writing, and the word there, when he says whose sin is covered, the Hebrew word for that is the word kafar, and it means to cover that sin. Notice it doesn't take away the sin, it covers the sin. So when Adam and Eve sinned, God took an innocent little lamb, unblemished, and had its throat cut, and the blood came out, and that blood was to cover their sin. And then he put the skins on them. Well, David is writing in the Old Testament, like Adam and Eve lived before Christ paid for our sin. And so when they went before God, their sin had to be covered. And that meant that when they offered the animal sacrifice, the blood of that animal sacrifice would cover over the sin, but it was still there underneath that covering of the blood of the animal. Why? Because the Bible says the blood of bulls and goats and, of course, lambs can never cleanse away the sin. It had to be paid for. That's why John, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing it is to have a human sacrifice of the Son of Man that can take away the sin of all of those in the Old Testament that believed. Now, David believed, but he couldn't go to heaven. He couldn't go to heaven because when he died, you see, his sin had not been paid for. It had only been covered. But thank God he didn't go to hell. So you say, where did he go? He must have gone to purgatory. No, he didn't go to purgatory. He went to Hades. Or he went to what is called Sheol in the Hebrew, Hades in the Greek. And what is it called in our King James Bible in Luke 16? Abraham's bosom. That's because Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and later David and all those in the Old Testament who by faith believed that the Messiah was coming that would pay for our sins. And when they offered that lamb or that animal sacrifice for their sin, they were saying, I believe that the Messiah is going to come that God promised, and he's going to come from Abraham, he's going to come from Isaac, he's going to come from Jacob, he's going to come from David, and he is going to take care of our sin. And so by faith, their sin was covered, but they were saved, my friend, on credit. The sin was not yet paid for. Sometimes you buy a house on credit. It's not paid for. The house isn't yours until it's paid off. Amen. And our church building right here is paid off. It is owned by Scranton Revival Baptist Church. It's not on credit. If it's on credit, you know, it can be taken away from you if it's not paid off. Now, thankfully, God knew, and the Old Testament saints knew, that God would not fail. He promised that the Messiah would come, who would be that Lamb of God, and he would pay for that sin and take that sin away. And so that's why David said it is such a blessing to have that sin covered for him in the Old Testament. And so when Christ died for the sins of the world, his death on the cross paid for all the sins of every Old Testament believer that looked forward in faith to the Messiah coming and offered the sacrifice required for sin and did it in faith. And then when Christ died on the cross, he went down into the center of the earth to Abraham's bosom. And there he took out all those in the Old Testament who had believed and in faith offered sacrifice and looked forward to the Messiah coming. And he took them out of Abraham's bosom and he took them up to the highest heaven, the third heaven. And he, they're there right now. Abraham is there right now. Isaac is there right now. And when Jesus took them up there, he took his blood, beloved, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat there. And that blood says that they don't have to go to hell. That blood says they could go right up into God's presence because that sin is now paid for. In other words, Jesus paid it all. And you say, well, where's that in the Bible? Ephesians 4, 8, and 9 says, wherefore he saith, when he, speaking of Christ, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. That is, those that were captive in Abraham's bosom, even though it was a nice place, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And it says now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. That's into Abraham's bosom. He that descended is the same also that upsended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So that is the blessing of having the sin of the Old Testament believer forgiven and covered until it was cleansed and paid for. But wait a minute, you don't live in the Old Testament times. We don't live looking forward to Christ coming. Christ already came 2,000 years ago. He was God in the flesh. He showed up. He was born of the virgin. He lived a perfect life. So he was that innocent lamb. And he didn't have to die. He gave his life up to go through the judgment of God. And he took that judgment of God. And so the Bible says in Psalm 32, verse 2, for you that now live in these times, it says to you that this is the greatest blessing that you have. Here's what it says. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Boy, what a blessing that is. Here's God's blessing offered to you now at this time. And here's what it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, it says, for he, that's the God who judges the whole earth, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to be sin for us. That is, Jesus Christ, when he was arrested and then put on the cross, he was being charged for the sins of everyone in the world, in the Old Testament that looked forward to believe on him, and in the New Testament that looked backward to him as their Savior, he was charged for their sin, and God charged him and judged him when he was arrested and crucified. It says, he who knew no sin, he says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, God did not impute that sin to the account of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he imputed that sin to Christ. Not just for the Jewish people, but for the non-Jewish people. Amen. For anybody who simply receives the grace of God, the free gift of God that says, by my gift, I have paid for your sin. When you get a birthday present or a Christmas present, you don't have to put in a time clock. You don't have to work for that. It's a free gift that God gives to you, or the person gives to you in this case, and you accept it, and you don't ask them, how much do I owe you? How much work do I? You graciously say, thank you for that gift. And that's the way salvation is. The greatest blessing of God is that our sin was imputed to Christ's account, and he took the full wrath and punishment of God on that cross, and he said, it's finished. There is no wrath. You're not under wrath anymore. You're under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood, when God looks down from heaven, he looks down through the blood on the mercy seat, and he sees you, and that blood says forgiven. That blood says paid for, paid in full. And so you don't have to pay for your sin. But that's the only thing that will save us, is the blood of Jesus. People think they'll be saved by something that they have done, by their good works, by their church and their church membership. No, they're lying. God says it's only by blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And it has to be by the blood of the Lamb. And so that sin was all imputed to his account. But guess what? Jesus lived a perfect life. He obeyed every commandment. And the moment you believe upon Christ, that perfect obedience of Jesus Christ is put into your bank account. So that you are rich toward God. You are justified. And that means God declares you perfect in his sight. God declares you righteous. You're not naked, just like Adam and Eve when their sin was covered by the blood of a lamb. Then he put on the skin of the lamb to cover up their nakedness. You're no longer naked before God. You're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so you are blessed. That is the greatest blessing in the world. And he said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What a great blessing that is. So listen, don't miss out on that blessing. You may see other people that are blessed, but if they don't have that blessing, beloved, it's all going to be taken away from them. They're going to wind up in the lake of fire. What will it profit if a man gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? That's why we are soul winners. That's why we talk about the main blessing over and over again. That's why Jacob wanted the main blessing. But Esau didn't care. He could care less. He was happy with just getting a meal one day, and he sold out that blessing. He said, I don't care. And then later on, it was too late, so he tried to get another blessing to compensate. But let me tell you, there is no other blessing of God that compensates for this. This is the greatest thing that you can have. Don't miss out, because it means that God, listen to me, will not charge your sins to your account. That he will rather, he already has charged them to the account of Jesus, and they're already paid for by the blood of Jesus. And he'll charge the perfect righteousness of Christ and put that to your account and declare you righteous. So don't miss that blessing because of that. And because this blessing means that you're not hiding your sin anymore, but you're confessing it. Look at Psalm 32, verses 3 through 6. Psalm 32, 3 through 6. Look what it says there. I'll read it. When I kept silence, David said, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moistures turned unto the drought of summer. Selah. For I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Now, this greatest blessing not only means that God will not charge any sins to your account, but it means that you're not living a life of hiding your sin, but you're confessing it. See, David had sinned with Bathsheba. This was not after he was saved or when he was saved. This is after he was saved that he talked about confessing that sin. Remember, for about a year, he didn't confess his sin with Bathsheba. And what happened? God's hand was upon him. And so he had to confess his sin. What confess means is that you agree with God about your sin. And so David didn't just say, well, I had an affair with Bathsheba. It was just for one night. No, I committed adultery with Bathsheba. And not only that, but David didn't say, you know, I did a bad thing with Uriah. He said, no, I murdered Uriah. I murdered Uriah. He committed murder. Thou shalt not kill. That means murder. It's not talking about killing in war. That's murder. And he murdered Uriah. He committed adultery with the wife of Uriah. Listen, people say, well, you know, being on drugs, that person has a sickness. No, that's sin. That person's got the sickness of alcoholism. No, they're a drunkard. That's sin. It's a pattern of sin in their life. You see, a person that will not confess sin is a person that has never had his sins forgiven. If you have the blessing of being justified and you're not going to go to hell, you're going to heaven, then you have a life that admits your sin. And if you don't admit your sin, God will chasten you. That's why we have the Lord's table tonight. If you have any unconfessed sin, confess it. Because if you take the Lord's table and you don't confess it, God may get you sick. You may get in a serious car accident. You may lose all your money. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know this. If your sin has been paid for by Jesus and you have that great blessing, God's not going to let you get away with sin. He's not going to let you get away with it. You say, well, David, when David was being, when he lost four of his sons because of his sin, was that the wrath of God upon him? Was that the judgment of God upon him? No, that was the father training his son. He was training him to be holy. You see, when you're saved, that sin will never send you to hell, but God will deal with that sin in your life if you have that blessing. If a person does not have that chastening in their life when they don't confess their sin, the Bible says they're a bastard and not a son. You say, what's a bastard? It's somebody that is not a legitimate child of a marriage. Somebody else got in there that shouldn't have been in there. And that person is the real son. Now, these DNA tests are showing up. There are a lot more bastards than we realize. And I'm saying, just make sure you're not an illegitimate son, a child of the devil. Because a true child of God that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot get away with not confessing their sin. God will take them to the woodshed for some bloodshed. And you know what? I've had that happen in my life a number of times. But I want to say, I remember when I was 17 years of age, I committed a certain sin, and I would be like, uh-oh, now I'm going to hell for that one. That was a bad one. I shouldn't have done that one. But I wanted to, and I did it. And I was scared, and I saw God as a distant judge who was going to get me someday. And then when I heard about Jesus paying for our sin and that he ripped open the curtain that allowed me to have a personal relationship with God, God was different to me after I believed on Christ. He was now my loving Heavenly Father. And he, as my loving Heavenly Father, somebody that I didn't want to sin against. And if I did sin against it, I would admit it to him and tell him, because I knew that sin was already paid for. And I could then walk with God. And that is what the Bible says in 1 John. It says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you. But listen, if you don't confess your sin, if you can just live in fornication, live with somebody that you're not married to, I would doubt your salvation. Because God will not spank the devil's children, but God believes in spanking. By the way, I know children and youth, they don't believe in spanking, but God believes in spanking. And he believes children should be in a home with a father and mother who are married. And they should apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning when it's needed. And God does that in our life. And so I'm just simply saying to you this morning, don't miss out on God's greatest blessing, because this blessing means that God will not charge any sin to your account. He charged them to his son. But that also means that you're not a person that's hiding your sin. You're somebody that brings it out in the open. Why? Because you know it's paid for. And you know you can get clean. And you know you can keep walking with God. And that brings me to the third thing. Don't miss this greatest blessing, because it also means that you're being personally guided by God for your good. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 32. And I'll read it. It says, God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. In other words, he's talking in verse 10 about the sorrows of the wicked. And he's saying, now that you're saved, God wants to guide you so that you don't get into sin. But now somebody that's saved, they say, hey, I was a drunkard all my life. I drank, and you know what? I got involved in fornication. A lot of times alcohol and sexual sin go together, don't they? They go together like peanut butter and jelly. And the devil whisper in an ear, let's say you're a child of God, say, hey, you used to be in alcohol, and when you had alcohol, you got into fornication. And you know how to do that, right? You know how to go back there and get into the bar scene. You know how to go back there and work it out, and now you can have that, and hey, your sins are forgiven, right? So you can do that. That is the devil, man. He is working on you. And he wants to get you hung up, because that sin will cause you so much sorrow and grief. God always gives you more grief for your sin than it's worth. Sin will take you lower than you thought you would go. It will make you stay longer than you thought you would have to stay there in the sin. And it'll make you pay more than you ever thought you'd pay. Think about that. All the sorrow and grief that David went through. You know who the real happy people are? You know who the real blessed people are? The people that listen to God's counsel and don't go back in that bar that one time and hook up with that bar fly one time. Because that's going to take you down, man, and really mess your life up. But it's deceitful because the devil tries to make it look good, doesn't he? It's like a fish. When you catch a fish, do you just throw a bear hook out there and say, now bite that thing, I'm going to get you? No, you put some nice bait on that. And you throw it out there and you dangle it. And some of you, you're saved by the grace of God. You have that blessing.
Amen.
And you confess sin. And thank God he forgives. But listen, don't buy the lies of Satan and of the world. You know how they show on the liquor commercials, this guy with a beautiful woman and everything looks nice. And the beer commercials, everything looks nice. They don't show you what a woman did to me one time. She said, Pastor, it's hard to be with my husband. He drinks. I said, what's the problem? He comes home and defecates all over the bed. And I'm in the bed. I mean, they don't show you that, you see. You can be thankful that blessing that you have puts you in a personal relationship now where God is your father and he's training you to live a holy life, and that living a life of obedience has all kind of reward, and it keeps you out of all the sorrows that the world gets into.
Amen.
And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been saved, but God has taught you sin is not worth it, right? And going into sin is not worth it. That it's a privilege to obey God and to be led. And God said, don't make me have to hit you over the head. Just let me guide you with my eye. And so I want to just say this in closing. If you don't have this greatest blessing, it's a free gift paid for by Jesus. And the only way you can get it is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. But once you believe in the Lord, you have that relationship. And so you can just keep admitting your sin. Don't hide it. Bring it out. Don't cover it. The Bible says, he that confesses and forsakes his sin, you're going to have mercy. So just bring it out. Tell God and know it's paid for. And thank God for that. But listen, don't let that be an excuse to be disobedient, because God will guide you in the way that will bless your life and bless the lives of others in the way of obedience. What did the Bible say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. See, some Christians, they think, well, I'll just serve the Lord. I'll sacrifice. I'll do this. I'll go soul winning. I'll pray. I'll do it. I'll make up for my sin. No, you confess it.
Preach it.
And follow the Lord.
Amen.
And the blessings are there. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed this morning. And we've been talking about the greatest blessing of all. The first thing I want to ask you is, has there been a time and place